So we're going to read together. Say together. See, that was okay. Some of you are slow to it. So reading together, we got to be on time. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 6, New Living Translation says it this way. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to the previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are a part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Today I want to emphasize a verse out of here, but before I do that, I want to back up a little bit and talk about the big picture. Have you ever heard the phrase, if first you don't succeed, try again? It's a lesson on persistence, and to a certain point it is true. But if we carry that into our walk with God, sometimes what we do, it doesn't work, and we could be struggling. Have you ever heard someone say, man, I keep trying to live this Christian life. I keep trying to do the right thing. I keep trying to be a witness. I heard it was good that I witnessed to people, and I try, or I try not to live in sin, or I try to break away from that relationship. And they try, and yet they struggle, and they're trying. And in the process of the struggle, they end up quitting and tell themselves, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't stop that. I can't make that happen. I tried to be a better person. I just can't do it. But the truth is, and we're going to get into it, that there is a path, a pattern that God has created for you to do it. Because without him, you can't do it. Jesus said it. And again, challenge everything I say with the word of God. It's the ideas. I don't want you to take any idea without it going through the proof of being challenged. And some verses I'll throw on the screen. Some I'll give you a reference. Some I'll just quote. I do it in different levels because I want you to challenge it based on your hunger and desire. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We say, all right, Jesus, let's get in this boat then because I need you, because I need to go to the next level, or I'm believing for that next miracle, or I'm wanting to keep moving forward. But every time I try, it's like one step forward, two steps back. If you've ever dealt with that tension or that problem, and maybe many of us at some time, if not all of us at one time or another, have dealt with that. Today we're going to talk about, I believe, a key that enables you to be successful in not only the attacks or challenges of life or the challenges of the enemy, but also with the opportunities that God gives you. We look at some people and say, man, it looks like they're just moving so fast. Pastor, why am I not moving fast enough? Well, maybe there's something to that, because God will not and cannot lie. In fact, the Bible says, let all men be liars and God be true. So if God said it, he meant it, and if he meant it, he can do it. And if he asked you to do it, he would never ask you to do something that you was not within your realm of possibility. So we need to dig deeper in the word and say, God, what do I not understand? What am I not seeing? Because I'm trying, and I'm getting tired. I'm getting exhausted. I'm getting frustrated by just the general idea of it itself. If you're watching today, if you're here today, then today, I believe, if that's what you're dealing with, you're going to walk away with an answer that'll bring victory in your life. Amen? Amen? Let's begin with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your truth and your presence. I thank you. Let the focus not be on me or the words, but let the focus be on your word and your presence. I sanctify this place by the precious blood of Jesus, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to move upon the hearts of your people today. Reveal the word. Make the word come alive. And we give you praise, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, since I already inundated you with one dumb joke, here comes the second one. So there's a story about this guy that lived in the hills and never really been around civilization, and his axe was really dull and broke when he was cutting some trees down, so he had to go into town. He hadn't been in town in decades, and he was walking through the store looking for a new axe, and he saw this sign that promoted a new modern-day way to cut trees down. It was a chainsaw. And it said, cut 100 trees down in one day. He thought, that's amazing. The most he's ever cut down with an axe is 25. And that was on a good day. He said, he thought to himself, I gotta have this. This will change my day. This will change. I will impress everybody by the amount of trees I can cut down. So he bought it. He went home, started cutting down trees, and found that he couldn't cut 100 trees down the first day. He couldn't cut down 100 trees a second day. And the third day, he couldn't cut 100 trees down. He was only able to get 10 and 15 trees a day, worse than his axe. And he paid a lot more. So he got a little frustrated, so he went back down to town, back into town. And he went into the store and told the manager, I got a problem. He said, what? He goes, I bought this just a few days ago, and that sign says I can cut 100 trees a day with this. And the manager said, yes, sir. I put the sign up. That's exactly what they tell us, and that's what you can do. He goes, I've only been able to cut 10 or 15 trees a day with this. Something's wrong. That's less than my axe, and my axe don't cost this much. And the gentleman said, well, let me see if I can help you look over the chainsaw real quick. And he took it out of his hands and looked it over and checked the blade and the belt and checked the motor and checked the oil and turned it on the switch and primed it a little bit and pulled the string and the guy jumped back from the hills. He jumped back and said, what's that noise? You'll get it in a minute. Way too late. Way too late. My dad used to say this. It's one way to work harder. It's another thing to work smarter. You can cut a tree down with an axe, but a sharper axe is a lot better. And a chainsaw without no power is the worst. Some of us in our Christian life, we're walking around with a chainsaw that has enormous amount of capacity and power, but we haven't turned on the switch. And so we're walking around doing what looks to be good, what we think to be good, and we're struggling in exhaustion for it. But the Bible tells us that God gives you the desire and the ability to do what pleases Him. And so that tells me that God has equipped us, enabled us, given us the opportunity to be empowered by Him to do what He called us to do. So you go and say, Jesus, what's the problem? He goes, well, let me look at what you're doing. Oh, I know, you haven't turned on the power yet. Come on, somebody. You're doing it all manual. You're doing it at your level of understanding. But if I can give you the inside track on how to make this work, you'll see that you can reach those goals. And it will be easier than the way you were doing it before. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, again, let me keep everything in balance. Following the Holy Spirit doesn't always mean taking the path of least resistance. But many Christians, not everybody, but many Christians, we get caught up and we are trying to discipline out of our own physical strength and will to do the will of God and the plan of God and to live for Jesus. And we exhaust ourselves. There's pastors that are doing everything to be the pastor and they are exhausting their physical ability. Why? Because they haven't stepped into the grace of it. It doesn't matter. This is just not for a Sunday. This is just not for ministry. This is for parenting. This is for relationships. This is for careers. This is for business people. This is for entrepreneurs. This is for employees and employers. In your field, if you're exhausted and you're doing what God wants you to do, let me help you. Maybe you haven't stepped into His grace that empowers you to do what He's called you to do. Because when there's a grace, it doesn't mean it's always warm and fuzzy, but there's a strength. There's a peace that exceeds your understanding. There's the rest of God. Jesus didn't say, come to me and I'm going to put a burden on you. He said, no, my burden, my yoke, they are easy and they are light. Anybody who's heavy burden, come to me. What was he doing? And I'm going to make your life better. It's amazing in the church world. It's amazing how we misunderstand that. And we'll start teaching people that to serve Jesus. Oh, it's going to be miserable. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be so hard. It's going to be so hard. You know, that weight of, well, that's not what Jesus said. Oh, but Jesus told us to pick up our cross every day and follow Him. He did. But you know what the cross is? The cross is not you being miserable. The cross is you choosing the will of the Father over your own will. Because Jesus himself prayed, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It's getting quiet on me. If at first you don't succeed, try again. It's not always trying harder. Sometimes success is working smarter, living smarter, obeying smarter. Allow God to give us the desire and the ability. Going back to Ephesians 3, which is we just read, chapter 3, verse 3. Paul says it this way, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And most times we would just read past this, but I want to draw from here. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is a secret thing that is not obvious to the casual onlooker. Have you ever had somebody tell you, and you're like, no, I don't see it that way. And as they begin to explain it, it was what they call a paradigm shift, a perspective change. Oh, wait a minute, now I see it. I remember in school or classes, I was the one that if I didn't get it, I was going to ask, especially numbers. I love numbers. And I remember with my teacher would put something on a chalkboard. I'm like, I don't get it. Show me again. And sometimes two or three times, but all of a sudden in the mix, it would click. And when it clicked, I could see it differently. And now it made sense to me. Before, I was totally in the dark. But now I am in the light. Now I can see it. See, God doesn't want you, when we're trusting him and we're not moving by what we see, it doesn't mean that you're walking around totally blind. For Jesus actually corrected the Sadducees and the Pharisees and called them the blind leading the blind. He wants you to see, but he wants you not to have your emphasis on what you see just in the natural. He wants you to see based on what he has shown you through revelation. What is the purpose and the power and the path of revelation? Well, the purpose of revelation is very simplistic. It is to reveal something. Revelation, to reveal. To reveal. To reveal the secrets that God has that's available to you. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. It's to reveal something. It's to reveal the will of God. It's to reveal the plan of God. It's to reveal, catch this, it's to reveal your identity in him. Last week we talked about don't let the enemy condemn you, because the biggest obstacle from you receiving answers to your prayers is not the devil, it's not God. It's your ability to receive because of your perspective on who you are. If you think that you don't deserve it, if you don't think you're worth it, if you think that you're a second-rate Christian, if you think that you are just busted and disgusted and God just tolerates you, that's the plan of the devil to get you so you won't reach out. Because Malachi says he'll pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. One translation says, until you are satisfied. One translation says, until you say, it is enough. And I'm telling you, Jesus said it this way, it is the desire of your Father to give you the kingdom. He delights in the prosperity of his servants, the Bible says. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to succeed. We've been taught failure so much, we believe it's a doctrine of the Bible. It's not. Failure is not a doctrine. Success is. He wants you to succeed. All thanks to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. And this is the victory, 1 John 5. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He wants you to win. But a lot of times we're taught differently. A lot of times we're taught we should just hang on. Child of God, just accept the cards that were dealt with you. That must be what God wanted, because everything that happens to you comes from the hand of God. Well, where is that in the Bible? Well, Pastor, it just makes sense because God's all powerful. Yes, God is all powerful. Well, if God's all powerful, then he could stop it. No, because he has elevated his word above his name, Psalms 119. He watches over his word to perform it. What did his word say? When he created Adam, he said, let's give them dominion. Adam, you have dominion. He didn't say, Adam, we share dominion. Adam, you have dominion. He put Adam in charge. And when he put Adam in charge, and when Adam gave up and gave it to the devil, then Adam put the devil in charge. But God knows the end from the beginning. I like to think of it this way, and I've shared this a lot, but sometimes we need to keep hearing it. It's like a leased car. Have you ever leased a car before? It's a little different than a purchasing car, but a leased car is still owned by the leasing company. You tell people, just like if you finance a car, then it's really owned by the bank. But you tell the difference is that we both, no matter if you purchase or you lease it, you just tell people, oh, look at my new car. Now, the leasing company doesn't clean it. They don't fill it with gas. They don't drive it for you. That's your responsibility. And you tell people, this is my car, but it's really not your car. It's owned by the leasing company. See how people will take the scripture? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. Sure, it belongs to God. But he's leased it out to Adam, who then put the devil in charge. It's getting quiet. But just like a lease, there's a time when it has to come back. And as you get close to that end of that lease, they'll start sending you letters. They'll start sending you notification. It's getting close. It's getting close. Matthew 24 was not about not knowing what the season was. Matthew 24, the people quote saying that no man knows the day or the hour, misunderstand what's being said there. And Jesus is actually telling them, you should know by the seasons. You should be able to identify the seasons. Only the Father knows the day or the hour, but you should know, because the phrase there is actually the unknown day, which is tied to one of the feasts called the Feast of Trumpets. And it's tied because they had to look, because they did not have an exact date for that particular celebration. And it was during a span of a few days. I'm going way rabbit trail, but stay with me. And they had to keep looking to the heavens, and when the light came and the slit on the moon, and the little light slither of the moon began to show some light, they knew it was time, and they would blow a trumpet and send witnesses and let people know it's time to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, and all the men would have to come and stand in the presence of God. That's what Jesus was talking about. Those were rehearsals, because the word feast in the Hebrews actually means rehearsal. They were a rehearsal, like you go to a wedding rehearsal, and you practice, and you practice, and you practice. And when they say, we're going to let you know when the wedding, it's going to be a few days, but we're going to call and let you know when it's time. That's the whole process. And when Jesus was saying in Matthew 24, it's coming, he's saying, you should know. You should know. I'm giving you notices. I'm giving you announcements. I'm sending you information to let you know it's coming close. And I'm telling you, I believe in my spirit and my heart that we're getting close. We are not only in the last days, we are in the last of the last days. Peter in Acts says, in the last days, quoting a prophet in the Old Testament, and he was not corrected. He was inspired by the Spirit of God. The last days started in the book of Acts. We are in the last of the last days. And God is showing, God is sending messages to his church. It might not be on TV. It might not be on a billboard. But he'll speak to those who are connected to him. He'll talk to those. For Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger. They will not follow. Those who are connected and close, they're picking up. The messages from heaven that it's getting close. Get ready. It's getting close. Get ready. Get your lamp ready. Get your lamps ready. Get your oil ready. Man, it's not my notes, but I feel it strong in the spirit. Get the oil ready. Get the lamps prepared. Your light needs to be shining. We're getting close. We're getting close. We're getting close. Don't look to the darkness and the plan of the enemy. Don't look to disease or viruses or pandemics or anything. Look to the sun. Look to the light of the sun. Look to the light. Look to the light. Look to the truth. We're getting close. We're getting close. It's not too long. Well, a leasing company will send messages and begin, oh, wow, hang on. I got to stay here for a second. It's getting close. Come on, give the Lord a praise right now. Come on, give him praise like you mean it. Praise him. You're working today. Some of us need to be working. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, we're getting close. Woo, we're getting close. Oh, my God. We're getting close. Redemption's drawing nigh. Redemption is the purchased possession. Oh, we're getting close. Woo! For children of God, it's exciting. For the children of darkness, it's not. We're getting close. The time is running. We need to reach people. But I'm telling you, things are speeding up. For the Bible says in the last days, even knowledge will increase. He will speed up. He will do a quick work. Do you not understand where the word of God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. Do you not understand that Abraham was connected to the reaping? That his children were part of the tithe, Hebrews 7 and 8. Even though they were not there, they were part of the process, even of the new covenant tithe, because they were in the womb. They were part of the seed of Abraham. Hebrews 7, 8, and 9. Excuse me, 6, 7, 8. Read it. And they're part of the seed of Abraham. Do you know what that means? That God saw Abraham and went down the line and said there's a spiritual connection. Do you not understand that the Bible says that he will bless those not only that are obeying him, but their seed, their children. And the children of the evil are being cursed because of what has happened. That's why it's good to be born again. You need to be broken from the curse of anything that's happened in your inheritance. Some of you need to have that thing broken because you've walked around trying to live in the lifestyle of before because of your parents or grandparents. No. That's broken. You're a new creation. But let me tell you something. Here's something that you don't hear all the time. When someone obeys God, that seed of obedience demands a response. If God tells you to give a seed of an offering, whatever it might be, there is a 30, 60, or 100-fold return. It's a demand of response. Say a demand of response. We're not controlling God. We are activating his system. We are activating his process. We are activating the kingdom. We are activating the kingdom. Even in Matthew, Jesus said that, Matthew 13, that when a person plants a seed and waters it and comes back day or night, he doesn't understand how it works, but the seed produces after its own kind. And so there's a production when you obey God. That's a seed of obedience. And the seed always produces. Listen to me. What are you telling me, Pastor? I'm not trying to take up an offering. You're going to miss the point. If you're thinking about dollars and cents in your pocket, you're missing the point. Because the seed is just not your offering. Seed is your obedience. And as we get closer, and only the Father, Matthew 24, knows the time. As we get closer, guess what? God will not be mocked, and every seed of obedience must be reaped and harvested. Do you see what I'm saying? And so things speed up. What would take you a year has to be shorter. Get ready for supernatural progress. As you obey God, get ready for supernatural fast return. But it doesn't stop with you. It doesn't stop with you. Back to Hebrews 6, 7, 8. It doesn't stop with you because Abraham was connected and his children were connected to Abraham. They were in his seed. They were in his body, in his lineage. Although Abraham did not understand that. Although he did not understand it, God saw it and Paul began to write about it as the Spirit revealed to him. What am I telling you? That many of you are connected to spiritual people in your heritage. Maybe your parents, grandparents, I don't know. And as they obey God, they might not have received all the harvest of their obedience. And so the harvest of their obedience is in storage waiting for someone to dare to believe. Because God knows that he cannot and will not be mocked. And when a seed has been sown, it must be reaped. It must be reaped. It cries out. It cries out from the earth to heaven and saying there is a harvest. There's a harvest that must come. There's a harvest must come. Jesus said, don't look to the fields and say, oh, later. He said, be open now. And anytime I'll teach you how to harvest. Harvest the souls of those who are getting saved. Harvest the opportunities. Harvest the blessing. Harvest the direction. Harvest the favor. I'm telling you, a supernatural wave of harvest is coming to the children of God, to the sons and daughters of God who are led by the Spirit and understand the time is wrapping up. It's coming to an end soon. And the Father will say, now blow the trumpet. Bring home my children. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise one more time. Because some Christians just, I'm just going to hang out here in the water of lukewarmness, and I'm kind of covering both worlds and doing my thing and showing up to church, and that should be good enough, and I'm a good person, and good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people. And Jesus said to one of the churches in Revelation, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, and I'll spew you out of my mouth. Hear my heart, this is not my message. And we may or may not get into the notes, but there's somebody here that you need to know we are moving to the last days. This is not the time to play a game. This is not the time to play a game. This is not the time to play a game. Bow your head and close your eyes. We're changing. We'll come back to teaching in a minute. We'll redirect everything. This is a time to make sure your heart is right. This is a time to make sure Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. This is the time to get real. The game is over. Quit playing a game. It's time to be real. The game is over. It's time to be real. If your heart is not right with God, if you allowed sin in your life, if you're doing your own thing and trying to add Jesus to it, and you know that he's not real in your life or he's not Lord and Savior of your life, this is your moment. Pray this prayer from your heart. Let this come from your heart. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want you to be real in my life. So I open up the door of my heart and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. This is not the end of the service. We haven't got to preaching yet. We're just doing what we're going to do. We'll see what happens. I might not preach or teach. Who knows? But I believe this is for somebody here. Actually, I believe it's for more people. I wonder how many people, because the Bible says that he'll give you strength. He will strengthen you with might by his spirit in your inner man. That's a strength that people need. Because you can't live out in that life of just, I'm going to leave church and celebrating Jesus, but on Monday I got to be different. No, you don't. You don't have to be weird. Don't be weird. But if the world can't see your light, something's not right. And maybe you've tried that and you keep coming back. I wonder how many people here would be bold enough. Some of you are shy, I get it, but many of you aren't. How many people would be bold enough to say, Pastor, that prayer was for me. So far, this thing was for me today. I want you to stand to your feet at the count of three. And if you're bold, just be the first one so the shy people, one, two, three, stand to your feet. You're saying, that was for me today. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's more. Come on, church. Give them a hand clap. People throughout the whole building. There's a few more. You're like, it don't matter if I don't stand. Listen, how do you stand for Jesus out there when you can't stand for Jesus in here when people are clapping? This is the crossing the line, breaking the barrier, and say, whatever it costs, I'm going to stand for you, Jesus. There's somebody else here. Who else am I talking to you? You're like, I'll just hold off a few more seconds, and they'll get past, and I'll miss it. No, don't miss it. This is important for you. Who else is there? Who else? Who else? Who else? Thank you. Thank you. Stay standing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I sanctify them by the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that you've cleaned them up right in that instant, removed all unrighteousness, and you have made them righteous. Now, Father God, not only sanctify them, place your hand upon them, fill them with your spirit, but strengthen them with might according to your word in the inner man by your Holy Spirit. Give them a supernatural inside strength like they've never had before. To be the light, to be the men and women of God. In Jesus' name. I hear the Spirit of God saying, you don't feel like you've come late to the party. Don't feel like, oh, I've messed up, missed out so much that I'm late to the party. I hear the Spirit of God saying, no, let them know that they are at the right place at the right time. God can use them in a mighty way. God can use them in a mighty way. You haven't come too late. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, you may be seated. God bless you. You may be seated. Woo. All right. Let me just teach for a few more minutes. Is that okay? So revelation is not just information. When Adam sinned, he subjected not only humanity to the curse of He subjected all creation to the curse. Romans 8.
It says that all creation, even now, groans waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation went under a whole different system. Humanity went under a different system. And there's always, and the devil doesn't create anything. He mocks and twists what God has done. But even in our educational system, have you ever thought, how long did it take for Adam to talk? He was naming animals. Who taught Adam how to talk? Who taught Adam how to reason? He didn't go through school. Who made, I'm not against school, don't misunderstand. I don't want you to walk. Who made Solomon wiser than any person? Notice how God can do something, right? There is a system of God's kingdom, and then there's a kingdom of the world. Now, we operate in the carnal. We are in this world, but we're not of it. In this world, we have our educational system, and we learn. And when you learn something, you can explain it, right? A teacher might say, here's the topic, give a lecture, and then say, take a test, or I'm going to ask you a question, and begin to tell me, what's the answer? Explain this term. Explain this topic. Explain and answer this question. We've all been there, right? So understanding gives us the ability to explain it. But in the kingdom of God, it's even a little different than that. Because spiritual understanding, which is what the Bible's referring to, when it says to get not only wisdom, but get understanding. Get knowledge, get understanding. Understanding in the Bible context is just not the ability to explain it. Now, this sounds weird, but that shows you how far off the church has gone. Because in many places, you can find people that are very smart, that have a lot of head knowledge, and they can explain a lot of things. And people walk away, and we should have understanding. I'm not saying we should be ignorant, not at all. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. So God wants you to have the ability to explain it. But revelation not only gives you the ability to explain it, revelation gives you the ability to obtain it. You can find someone explain it to you, but the question is, can they obtain what they are explaining? Because if they, I know a lot of people, they are knowledgeable, they're brilliant. They are geniuses in their own right. And they have a lot of head knowledge, and they can explain it. But everything else in their life is busted and disgusted. Why? Because you can explain peace, but if you can't obtain it, it's totally different. In the kingdom of God, do you see the difference? In the kingdom of God, God wants his children to not only be able to explain it, he wants them to obtain it. He wants them to experience it. For he richly gives us all things to enjoy, the Bible says. Isn't that interesting? So how can I obtain it? Well, first of all, you got to understand how you get to a place of explaining it. It's just not by hearing it and learning on your own natural. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit explains it. He reveals it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Paul in that verse in Ephesians just said, and these mysteries are, though have been a mystery for generations, have now been revealed to us by the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit reveals it. This is not goofy. This is not quirky. This is not weird. This is not a goosebump. You have to understand, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you or reveal to you the words that I've spoken. It's not weird stuff above the word. It's the word. And the word, listen to me, the word works. Just not when you're praying on Sunday, but every day in your life, the word works, if you allow it. So what I would encourage you to do, if you're hitting a wall and you keep pushing, you keep pushing, you keep pushing, I keep trying, I keep trying, I keep trying. Pastor, I'm working harder. If at first I don't succeed, I'm going to try. And I've been trying for years. I would encourage you, maybe put yourself on pause on your effort. And back up and redo the energy that you're using to make it happen and pursue and utilize that energy to get into his word about the subject matter and let his word be revealed to your heart. Because when he reveals, it gives you revelation, it gives you the desire, it gives you the ability. Have you ever heard the scripture? People quote it all the time. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, people will misinterpret that. That's my opinion. You can disagree or agree. They'll misinterpret that and say, oh, if I serve God, then if I have a desire for a new car, he's going to give me a new car. Now, God doesn't mind you having a new car. Don't misunderstand. And he wants to give you a new car. All right? But that's not what that verse is talking about. It didn't say he'll give you the desires that you've created. He'll place his desires in your heart. Well, Pastor, where do you get that from? Well, if you read the next verse, it says, commit your works unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What is the it? The desire he placed in your heart. How do I get the desire? So when all of a sudden you get revelation, guess what? He's going to give you a desire. He's going to give you. That's why we don't pressure and force people to even tithe. There's no list on a wall somewhere about the people who don't tithe or the people who do tithe. Why? Because I want you to give out of revelation. When you give out of a revelation, that'll make sense when the Bible says, don't give grudgingly, but God loves a cheerful giver. You can't be a cheerful giver without a revelation about the power of blessing and the power of sowing and tithing and offering. I just talked to a dear member before service. Oh, Pastor, she shared this testimony. She goes, I just want you to know that, you know, tithing works. I said, I know it works. She goes, no, you understand. She goes, I used to be one that was totally against tithing. Now, we're not taking up an offering, so you just chill out. He said, I used to be so against tithing. She said, I didn't do it. I didn't. She goes, Pastor, I was so bad that even my husband would give me the tithe, and I wouldn't even drop it off. She goes, I was far opposite direction. I didn't believe. She goes, but you know what? All of a sudden, there's a change in her heart. There's a revelation. And she began to obey God and her tithe. And she said, I want you to see my tithe that I'm bringing today. And I didn't ask to see it. And I never asked to see that. That's between you and Jesus. Amen. Amen. She goes, and I'm telling you, her tithe today is bigger than most people make in a month. And she looked at me and she says, Pastor, this works. And I said, I know it works, but you need to get in the booth, testimony booth, and share that, because if I say it, people think I'm making it up sometimes. They'll misunderstand motivation. We don't pressure you to tithe. It works. It works. If you don't want to work it, that's fine. You don't want to be blessed by it, that's fine. Just don't ask me to pray for God to bless you with a better job if you're not obeying him what he asked you to do. Okay, I thought that went over. Woo, we're taking all kinds of turns in this service today. Thank you, Jesus. It's revealed, Ephesians 3:5. Now revealed by the Spirit. Revealed by the Spirit. Let me go back to Deuteronomy 29:29 again. The secret, we'll throw this on the screen. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children, that we may do. Revelation from the word always gives you direction. God will show you, maybe not immediately when you get the revelation, but in the process, he will begin to direct your steps. Your word, David said, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That you may do, that you not try harder. I want some of you to walk away from this not only encouraged, not only blessed, not only smiling. I want you to walk away with the freedom of the weight, because the weight of obligation has been removed. That doesn't mean go out there and live any way you want. No. Sin will always imprison you. But it takes away the weight of and pressure of trying to perform to please God. He loves you already. Well, Pastor James says, faith without works is dead. Yes, faith without works is dead, but the works that you do are obedience to the revelation that he's given you. See, have you ever, we've all been there. We've saw somebody on your TV or heard somebody's testimony or read someone's book, and God does something amazing in their life, and we figure now we just need to follow their pattern. And you follow their pattern and don't get the same results. Why? Because if God didn't tell you to do it, and don't look for voices, look to the word. But when God reveals his word to you on giving, giving will no longer be an issue. When God reveals his word to you on forgiving people, come on, somebody. When God reveals his word to you about the joy of the Lord, when God reveals his word to you about peace, when God reveals his word to you about love, you can't force people to love other people. And there's a lot of people in the church world that live under the pressure and obligation of an expectation created by man. And they wear the burden of trying to, how do I know? Because you can see them out and about, and if they begin to talk, you know, they do this. They are living a conformity, and they're trying to make sure who's around so they know who they need to be. Do you want to know one good thing about not lying and telling the truth? It's just not that God loves those who tell the truth and hates when people lie, but you don't have to remember anything. All the The weight people put on themselves because they got to remember everything. What I said to who and who I said this to that. John chapter 8, verse 31. Man, I just sense the anointing here today. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed. To who? To the Jews who did what? Who believed. So he's talking to believers. And he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, to tie that with the scripture where Jesus said, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. You say, that's Jesus. Yeah, the same thing as the word for John 1:1 and John 1:14. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. What's happening? The word, when you get revelation, it frees you. It doesn't imprison you. Don't you see that? It frees you. You can relax. I know a lot of Christians that love Jesus, but they're too bound. They're just too stressed. They are trying to jump through hoops, perform, and fit a mold of someone else's expectation. But when you learn to relax and trust him, and you have peace in your spirit, you don't need to be something you're not. You don't have to carry around that fake you to make everybody that around and hears you talk to make them think that you're super spiritual. Listen, if you're spiritual, you don't need to look or act super spiritual. You're just spiritual. There's a freedom. There's a rest in the Spirit of God. There's a rest to the people of God. There's a rest to the people of God when we walk by faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want to free somebody up today that you walk out of here and say, man, maybe for your whole life you've been under a denominational religious rule and you've been thinking, oh, I've got to make sure that they're, listen, the people that are applauding you might not know what they're talking about and they might say something's okay and it not be okay for you. If you continue in my word, you shall know. If you continue, you shall know. If you continue, you shall know. If you continue, you shall know. Now, I just read the Bible. March, I think. March. Yeah, that was March. That was a good month. I read the Bible in March. No. If you continue. I don't want a church full of people that just have head knowledge. I want you to have revelation that empowers you to be successful and victorious. Joshua, last verse, Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it. Meditate. You know what meditate means? To read it, to memorize it, to speak it, to keep it on your lips, to confess it, to listen to it, to hear it. Meditate on the word. As you meditate on the word, notice, day and night, so that you may be careful to do. Why? So that you might know what to do. There it is again. As you continue in the word, you're going to get revelation and know what to do. And guess what? Then you will be prosperous. And then you'll be successful. Success is not just doing. Success is obeying. Success is just not doing. Success is obeying. Because it invites God into the situation. It invites him to do what only he can do. This in sales. Maybe you're in sales and say, Pastor, I'm struggling and I'm just near the bottom. Why don't you trust God? It doesn't mean you're looking for voices. Why don't you get in the word and find out what the word says about your efforts and about obeying him and success and victory in your life. And you'll get a revelation and all of a sudden, you'll find that out of that revelation, God will open up doors and opportunities. You'll see your success skyrocket. Are you listening to me, church? The idea that if you just do this magic 1, 2, 3, everything just falls on you automatically. No, the kingdom of God suffereth violent, and the violent take it by force. You got to be hungry for the things of God. You got to pursue the things of God. You got to seek the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That just doesn't mean make Jesus number one, and that's important. It means find out how the king does stuff. Make that a priority. Maybe you need to find out how the kingdom of God operates in that area of your life. How do you do that? Get revelation. How do I do that? Spend time in his word until the Holy Spirit reveals it.
How long do I do that? You continue. How long do I continue until you get there? It's like people putting up telephone poles. Larry Lee used to refer to this in prayer. Sometimes, you know, they'll dig a hole, then put the pole in and fill it and stabilize it. And then someone comes and puts the wire on, and then they connect the wires, and then all of a sudden they connect it to the main power, and then finally someone hits a switch. Some days as you're doing it, you might feel like you're just messing with dirt, just digging a hole. Some days you feel like you're making some progress, you've got a pole in the ground. Some days you feel like, hey, things are getting looking close because you see the wires are getting connected. But if you stick with it, eventually the power is going to hit, come on, and you're going to see God do what only God can do. You're going to see God's power demonstrate in a mighty way. And when God demonstrates his power, he doesn't put you in bondage. He puts you in freedom. He doesn't move you into poverty. He moves you into blessing. He doesn't move you into sickness. He moves you into healing. He doesn't move you into failure. He moves you and elevates you to success. Amen. Amen. And he has the ability. I just sense this in my spirit. Someone here that you're a go-getter and you're a goal setter, and that's good, and you have mapped out your career, and you begin to see where the path, how long it takes to get somewhere, and you've calculated out, by this so many years I should be here. I'm telling you, if you do it God's way, he can supersede the path and speed up the process and get you farther in a shorter amount of time. Do you believe that? You might be in the pit or prison, but he can bring you to the palace if you do it his way. Amen? Amen? Just not by acting, just not by doing, but by obeying the revelation of his word. I believe that. I believe that. If you've been part of Hope Church for any length of time, for years, you know, even from giving, I mean, some pastors, they, whatever reason, their motivation or pressure, I refuse to be pressured by people that, giving or lack thereof. Why? Because I got a revelation one day that God, that individuals aren't the source of Hope Church, that God is the source. And if we ever hit a lull, you know what I do? I don't call people and say, please give. You know what I do? I start sending more money to the Philippines to our churches there. We start trying to feed more people. What do? We start trying to send more out. Because the process of sowing and reaping works regardless who you are, individual, church, or corporation. Can I get an amen? Amen? But when you understand by revelation, then it frees you. You sleep better. Some of you got to take a deep breath and relax. Because if you're stressed, it's hard to receive. When you're stressed because you're in your flesh. Take a deep breath, all of you. Doesn't that feel good? But I need, just relax. I need God to, just relax. I need it done by, just relax. I need the Lord to show me, just relax. Take a deep breath and relax one more time. Now lift your hands before the Lord and believe that he's going to begin to speak to your heart. Now, Lord, touch the hearts of your people. Holy Spirit, move upon them. Right now, deposit revelation in many of their hearts that are ready, open, and willing. We free them from the pressure and stress of society, of problems. People of God that live in the rest of God, according to your word, by faith in your word. Thank you, Father. Ooh, thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.